Let's come before our Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the Ten Commandments. Like the whole of your word, they display your character, your holiness, your goodness, and your faithfulness. And we pray tonight as we look at the seventh commandment that we as your people will reflect your faithfulness in all our relationships, but particularly in our relationships if we happen to be married. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Adultery is something that everyone in our society would disapprove of. Or do they? We seem to all agree that if you're married, you should not have sex with someone else but your spouse. We expect as a society that people will be faithful and be committed to the person they are in a relationship with. But is this only an assumption? Adultery can be big business. We found that out in 2015 when Ashley Madison was exposed. Ashley Madison is a company that offers to help married people have an affair. We were shocked to find out who was using the service. Through the exposure, relationships were destroyed, divorces occurred, and some people even committed suicide because they had been exposed. So have we learnt our lesson? No. Because Ashley Madison is back in 2018, bigger, better, and more secure, and offering their services again to married people seeking to have an affair. It's changed its motto from "Life is short, have an affair," to "Find your moment." According to the current president of the company, there are 191,000 daily active users and 1.4 million new connections made each month. Adultery is big business. In July 2016, the interview with the former president of the company, James Millership, said it was worth $80 million in revenue. They were expecting that particular year. And the current president said the firm has always been very profitable and we continue to enjoy nice profits. So on the one hand, we say adultery is wrong. And on the other hand, we say, well, it's okay as long as you don't get caught, and it could even strengthen your marriage, some people tell us. And it also seems to be good business sense. But there's always a price for someone's failure to be faithful and honour their spouse. In the New York Times, in their seventh article on the 10th commandment, they introduce us to Mr. Vargas. His father walked out on his pregnant mother when he was in a relationship, or because he was in a relationship with another woman. The article said this: while for some adultery no longer carries the collective moral weight it once did, Mr. Vargas, 25, wears the broken commandment like a heavy chain around his neck. He says it has done nothing short of devastating his life. And this is from a child's perspective, who's now an adult. He said, when you commit adultery, you break a promise. Not only to the woman you are in a committed relationship with, not only to the woman you are having an affair with, but maybe most importantly to the children born from that affair. Because of what happened, Mr. Vargas has had a terrible family life that led him to be fostered out, where he was abused. He had finally turned to crime after prison. He sought to turn his life around. He is in a relationship and trying now to be a father, something that he finds really hard to do because he never had a father. Adultery may be big business, but it can change the lives of many people for the worse. Adultery is self-centered, selfish, and hurts the person and the family that has been betrayed. And it is a betrayal. It leads to lies, deception, and the leading of a double life. The seventh commandment calls men, married men and married women, especially if they are disciples of the Lord Jesus, to be to honour their spouse. The commandment calls also single men and single women, if they are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to break up marriages, but to honour marriage. We might say that obeying this commandment is good for the family and good for society, but I've got to add that without a relationship with the Lord, I do wonder how people can obey it in a world where there is so much temptation. We need to realize that this commandment goes all the way back or finds its reasoning back at the beginning of creation where marriage was first laid down. We also need to remember that marriage was established before the fall, before humanity sinned, before humanity rebelled against God. In Genesis chapter 2, 22 to 24, it says, "The Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man and brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." This is the only relationship described in the Bible as being of one flesh. Being one flesh includes being one spiritually and one physically. Being one is also a lifelong process that has to be lived out on a daily basis. Married couples are declared to be one, and they live out what that means, to be one. They are one and they are becoming one. And part of that, I have no need to deny this, part of that, of course, is sex. Sex is an important part of that. May I add, not the most important part. Sex is sacred in the Bible, and because sex is sacred to God. Marriage is sacred, and so sex within marriage, within the marriage relationship, is the only way to honour God. God created sex. He made it pleasurable so that through this experience of sharing each other, the marriage relationship would be strengthened and maintained. But it would also be good for children that would be produced through this intimate act, because they would be raised in families where parents are committed to one another. So sex within the marriage relationship has two purposes. One, to experience what it means and to strengthen what it means to be one flesh. And of course, two, to produce children. However, you see, our society has made pleasure the goal of sex, if not an idol. Robbie Williams, the singer, is well known for having sex with anybody. And when he got married and to announce to the world that his wife was pregnant, he said, "We had sex," and it worked. The goal of sex is to produce children, but also to strengthen the marriage relationship. The world has lost that and has now made pleasure the ultimate goal. Yes, God has made sex pleasurable. Why? So that God's goal for married couples to grow together, to be committed to one another, and to become one together would be achieved. God is very wise. God is very gracious. But adultery destroys the purpose or the purposes that God has for the married couple and impacts the community. It impacts family and also impacts the church community. Because adultery is a threat to God's covenant people. And because it is a threat in the Old Testament, and I want to emphasize that, it carried the death penalty. Deuteronomy 22:22 says, "If a man is found sleeping with another man's wife, both the man who slept with her and the woman must die. You must purge the evil from Israel." The prophets denounce both Judah and Israel because of their adultery. It's been one of the causes why God judged them. Jeremiah says, "The land is full of adulterers. Because of the curse, the land lies parched and the pastures in the wilderness are withered." Ezekiel says, "You rely on your sword, you do detestable things, and each of you defiles his neighbor's wife, should you then possess the land." So adultery was one of the reasons why God cast out his people. Being faithful and honoring your spouse was taken so seriously because God's people were themselves in a marriage relationship in which they also had to reflect the faithfulness of God. A faithfulness that was constant when Israel was constantly unfaithful. You see, God had married one people. They were to be his bride and his wife. So we have one God taking one people, Israel and the church, as his bride and as his wife. Emphasizing once again that the marriage covenant is between one man and one woman. No matter how rebellious or unfaithful God's people were to him, he remained faithful to them and to his promise. Therefore, marriage was the symbol, the picture that God used in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament for his relationship with his people. The book of Hosea is all about God's faithfulness to a wife who is unfaithful. God says to the prophet Hosea, "Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." Isaiah 54:5 says, "For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name." Israel had been unfaithful to her husband by going after other gods. But we too, in the new covenant, are married or betrothed. Because in New Testament times, in the Jewish custom, when a person was betrothed, they were legally married. So we are legally betrothed to Christ, and one day we will be wedded to him. Revelation 19 says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, were given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's people." And at the end of Revelation chapter 21, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a beautiful bride dressed for her husband. There is still one God married to one people, a God who is constantly faithful to his people. If God was faithful, then we as his people, in reflecting his character, are to be faithful in our relationships with our spouses, because God has been faithful to us. God's kept his word. God has sent his Son, the Messiah, to redeem and rescue us from our life of sin and to turn us to him in faith and obedience. God is committed to his people and loves them with an everlasting love. As Jeremiah reminds them in chapter 31, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness.'" He is a God who will and does delight in his people, and like a lover, sings over them. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17 says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." There's a great and wonderful picture here of God's faithfulness, God's commitment, God's love. And if we are God's people, then we are to reflect the same thing in our relationships. Obeying this commandment, I believe, only comes through our relationship with God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who he himself showed faithfulness by going to the cross for his bride, the church. The Lord Jesus calls us not only to obey this commandment in action, because maybe some of us might say, "Well, I haven't done that," but also in our hearts. In Matthew 5, Jesus raises the bar about what it means to be faithful, what it means to honour your spouse. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, the Greek here emphasises that the purpose of the look is to lust after the person. So it could be translated as the ESV does, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So this particular verse is not talking about the feelings of arousal that you might have when you happen to look at someone, but it's talking about the deliberate intention of looking at someone in order to satisfy your desire, to fantasize over that person, to imagine having sex with that person, or undressing that person with your eyes. There is an intention, there is an aim. The look and the desire has a purpose of lusting after that person and wanting to have sex with them. And if you do that, Jesus says you have broken the seventh commandment. You have committed adultery. You may not have actually done anything physically, but if that was your intention, if that's why you gazed and kept gazing and kept looking, then you have broken the seventh commandment. So if you are a married person, constantly looking at other people to satisfy your desire means you have committed adultery. And if you are a married person looking at pornography and lusting after a person, then you have committed adultery. Jesus tells us that we're better to remove an arm or a leg or an eye so that sin does not get in the way. If your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away, it's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Jesus wants us absolutely committed to avoid this sin, not just by action, but from our hearts. And that refers to both single and married. If you're single, know that you have been bought with a price. Jesus has died for you to redeem you. And you are to avoid all sexual immorality in all its forms because you don't belong to yourself. You belong to the Lord. And if you are married, you belong to the Lord, but you also belong to your spouse. Christ has died for you. He's been faithful to you. Therefore, you need to be faithful to your spouse. And there's no way that your spouse has given you permission to look lustfully at anyone. There's a warning here in Matthew 5, is there not? When he says, if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. A person could fall away. A person could abandon the Lord Jesus because they want to satisfy their lusts. They prefer to worship their lust, prefer to idolize the desire to have sex rather than serve Christ. Also know that adultery, of course, is the only exception that the Lord Jesus allows for divorce. If you continue going on in Matthew 5, he says, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So if a person divorces anybody else, if it's not for sexual immorality, then people are committing adultery all over the place in our society. So we need to understand that lustfully looking at someone, and your spouse knows about it, viewing pornography, and your spouse knows about it, means that they have grounds to divorce you. Because you are committing sexual immorality. That's what you're doing. You're breaking the seventh commandment. So we need to understand that all this is grounds to for your spouse to divorce you if you are lusting after other people or looking at pornography. It's serious business. But this sin is not the unforgivable sin. In the Gospel of John, a woman caught in the very act of adultery, which is a very interesting situation, is brought to Jesus so that he can condemn her. But Jesus challenges the accusers by asking, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. When Jesus was left alone with the woman, he asks her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Jesus was and is the faithful one who went to the cross because of his great love for you and for me, the unfaithful ones. And at the cross, Jesus paid for our unfaithfulness so that we could, through him, be faithful to him and to others. If you have committed this sin, actually or in your heart, then understand that there is forgiveness, that Christ has paid the penalty. He has been faithful where possibly you and I have not been faithful. God's faithfulness to his people took him all the way to the cross. How far will you be faithful to your spouse? How far will you be faithful to God's word in this area? Through Christ, you can be faithful. Through Christ, you can honour your spouse in word, in action, and in thought. It is a tragedy that we live in times where adultery can be a profitable business. But we must never, ever believe that adultery is a good thing. It is always a tragedy. It always causes pain, always causes suffering. But through Christ, there's always a way back if that person wants to take it. If we ever want to undermine or think that adultery is unimportant, we just need to look to people like Mr. Vargas, whose very life was devastated when his father walked out on his mother. So today, tonight, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then seek to obey God's word in heart and mind and body. And if you're not, may I encourage you to turn to him, because through Christ, you will achieve the strength and the grace that you need to be faithful if you are married to your spouse. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the challenge that it is in this world that is so confused about what it means to be faithful, what it means to honour one another. We pray that as your people, we may seek to do that. But we know, Lord, we do live in a broken world. And we know that even in your church, there are people who break your commandment. We do pray, Lord, that you'll bring about repentance in their lives. They may love Christ, and in loving Christ, that they may therefore love their spouse. We pray that all of us who are married, all of us who call upon the name of Christ, will love Christ so that we can love our spouses, so that we can be faithful to them and honour them to your glory and honour. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.